Appreciate the way you sang that, the praises, hallelujahs. It's a reminder of the day in which we have gathered to worship this day. It is commonly called Palm Sunday, and most of you already know about that, but I'll share a couple of things about that in a few moments. I welcome you, along with my brethren, to the house of the Lord this day, in the name of Jesus Christ. We have the Bohalls are at Clinton, providing ministry there, and CAPS are at Washington Street in Excelsior Springs. I'm glad each of you are here. We are fortunate to have Brother Ron Eggert and his lovely wife Melanie with us. We go way back. Marcia and I did camps back in the 90s, started back in the 90s, and for several years, Ron and Melanie were part of that program, and Ron is the pastor, and Melanie was one of the associates. Well, she was helping run the camps for sure, and definitely it was wonderful to get to know them. Actually, I knew Ron longer than that. I think he was across a volleyball net back in the 80s when I first met him. But I've always appreciated his ministry. And anytime you go to Colburn Road, a lot of times you'll hear Melody on the piano or the organ. Our children and my grandkids go at Colburn Road now, and it's a blessing to have them in that congregation for such as the Eggerts. I'd like to read one of the several descriptions of the coming of Christ back to Jerusalem. And I'll share from Matthew 21. The disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the colt, and put on it their clothes. And Jesus took the colt, and sat thereon, and they followed him. And a very great multitude spread down their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strewed in the way. And the multitudes that went before, and also that followed after, cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I appreciated the early worship this morning. Brother Bob and Sheila shared quite a bit about about that, and the also then about Jesus wept. I look forward to the service that we have. I'm looking forward to the Spirit being here to touch each one who's come, and pray that you will be fed. We will go to the hymnal now to sing hymn number 480, God of Our Fathers, and have an invocation. Presence, Father, grateful for the gift you so freely given to us, the gift that allows us to have opportunity to return to you, Father, the gift of your only begotten Son, even Jesus Christ. Father, we have gathered in the name, in his name, with these, my brothers and sisters, We desire, Father, to worship you this day. We desire, Father, to be fed. We have gathered to hear the spoken word in this hour. We pray that each one who's come this day might have a greater understanding of your love for us. Bless my brother Ron with the responsibilities he's accepted. And Father, we look forward to those blessings you have for us even this hour and in the days ahead. For we ask all of these things in the precious name of your only begotten Son, Jesus. Amen.
One of the aspects of Palm Sunday that we don't often talk about goes clear back to the 12th chapter of Exodus, where the law of Moses was given, and the Lord told Moses that on this day, being the first day of Nisan, would be a new beginning of a new year. And he also said, it shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. You're all familiar with that, so I won't elucidate that too much, but Christ came in the fulfillment of the law of Moses and all the prophets and all the psalms that were ever offered. And when he rode into the streets of Jerusalem, he came more than just a prince riding upon that little donkey. He came as the Lamb of God. And the priest, the high priest especially, unknowingly, when he came into the temple, they checked him out in every way they could. For 4 days they tempted the Christ, trying to catch him up in his words. Very similar to how it was in Moses' day. For 1600 years, every year they would bring a lamb in that the high priest had selected, and it was the best of the lambs, and they'd bring it in and they would tie it to the temple door for 4 days. And everybody that wanted could come and check that lamb out and make sure it was worthy. And brothers and sisters, our Lord and Savior came to fulfill that part of Moses' law. Without the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, the death angel passed over Egypt, killed all the firstborn, not only of men, but all their cattle. Christ came to fulfill that. And it's a reflection of that which will come again when Christ returns as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Those who have not protected themselves, taken upon them the name of Jesus, and accepted his cleansing blood, will face that same destruction. I heard a statement the other day that says, is God for us, or are we for God? I won't answer that question, but I'd like for you to think about that. Because God is obviously for us. But the question is, how much are we for him? Will the brethren come forward to receive of our offerings? Will you bow with me, please? Heavenly Father, we bow before you, not only as our God and our Creator, but you are also that chosen Lamb and the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And you fulfill all your words, Lord. And we desire to be for you as much as we desire for you to be for us. So, Father, we pray that this mere pittance that we can offer up to you as a symbol of our love and devotion and our desire to keep your commandments and fulfill your will in our lives, may it come before your throne and be acceptable. And may it be magnified, Father, just as you have magnified all the efforts of your children since the dawn of time. Magnify these offerings, Father, to your will and your purposes is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning I'm going to read from the 11th chapter of the book of Mark. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and said unto them, Go ye into the village over against you, and as soon as ye have entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon no man ever sat. Loose him and bring him to me. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door without in a place where the two ways met. And there they loosed him. And certain of them who stood by said unto the disciples, Why loose ye the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus hath commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and Jesus sat upon it. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of trees, and strewed them in the way. And they went before him, and they that followed after cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, that bringeth the kingdom of the Father of our father David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And they praised him, and they shouted, and they worshipped him. And a few days later, the cry changed to crucify him.
Mm-hmm. Saints.
Good morning. Aren't you glad to be here this morning that you can worship God and that you can worship Him with people that you love, with people who have some of the same beliefs that you have? And this morning we were talking about Palm Sunday and what Christ did. Christ didn't have to go. He went willingly to Jerusalem. And they praised Him for a time. And then things did not go the way that maybe some of the people thought they would go. And Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He was praying. And those disciples who He had been with, who He had called, couldn't even stay awake. But yet, the Lord knew what He was here for. Jesus knew why He came. And He came and He died for each and every one of us. And then He arose from the dead and broke the bands of death that we might have life. That we might have a chance. That someday we might be able to be with Him in a special place. In my patriarchal blessing, I was told that I was of the household of faith, and because of it, I have many testimonies of His goodness. And in my lifetime, that has always been there. He has always been there and given me those testimonies, those positive things that I can share about Jesus Christ, about how He cares about each and every one of us. So very much, He allowed Himself to be crucified for all of us. That is a Jesus Christ whom we worship. He loves us. He does everything for us. Even though there are times when we may have to suffer, we may have to have burdens placed upon us. But with His strength, with His help, we can survive anything. When I left home many years ago, my youngest brother was 5. I never really knew him. Didn't really know anything about him. And when my father passed away, I spent a lot more time talking to my brother and how he'd been unemployed for years and just living at my parents' house. And I was very critical and very hard on him. And a year later, my mom passed away and something had to change. And the decision was made by all the siblings, there's 5 of us, that we would have to sell the family farm. None of us could afford to buy it. And so we had several family meetings, and at every family meetings, I told my brother, "You have to get a job." There was some money that he received as an inheritance. And I explained to him that once this is gone, it's gone. Nobody is going to help you. And I was very adamant about it, and I was very direct. I was very hard on him. He found a place to live in Independence, and it's a part of Independence. It's not a real good area. In the first part of January, I got a call. I never answer calls that I don't recognize the number on. But for some reason, this particular day, I answered the phone. And the person on the other end identified himself as a member of the Independence Police Department. They had been asked to do a wellness check on my brother. And he said, I'm sorry to inform you that he was found deceased. And they needed me to come because he had a lot of weapons and ammo in his house and in the area he lived in. They didn't want to leave those unattended. So Melanie went with me. It's a cold day. When we got there, I talked to a police officer, and I had to wait for some other things to happen before I could get the things out of the house that they wanted me to remove. And in the vehicle, I had a lot of thoughts like, why did he not listen? In reality, if he would have said, I'm out of money, I need help, his siblings would have helped him. But I guess I was too adamant that we wouldn't. It was 30 degrees in his house. He had no utilities. They'd all been shut off for months. And after the people from the medical examiner got there, they had to do an investigation because nobody was present when he passed away. And once he was removed from the house, they let me in, and I spent an hour with two officers taking all those things out of his house. In the next couple of days, we went back, and we emptied his house of all his precious possessions. Lots of books, none of them church books, no scriptures. A lot of videos. None of them religious. And in the few days after that, I had a point that I was feeling pretty overwhelmed by that. Why couldn't I reach him? Maybe I should have spent more time preaching him, teaching him about the gospel instead of criticizing him about his finances. But yet, he made his choice. And my sister's older than me, and she was having the same issue. And it was made known to me that even at the moment that he passed from this earth, even though he didn't do the things he should have done, that he was not alone. And that helped me have some peace in my soul. I know that the Lord is always mindful of us. Even when we do those things we shouldn't do. Even though we do things that separate us from Him. He's always trying to get us to come back. I'd like to read from the third book of Nephi. The ninth chapter. This is after Christ's crucifixion and some time had passed and He came and visited the people on this continent. And they were looking forward to that time. But how many people didn't believe it would actually happen? Even when he was born, people didn't believe it was going to happen, but it did. On the very night that the people were going to destroy them the next day because they were believing in the foolish tradition of their fathers. Yet Christ, that miracle happened, and Christ did come into the world. And this is after his crucifixion. And this is the second appearance of Jesus. This is after he called his disciples and he told them to be baptized. And I'm going to start reading at verse 16. This is them talking among themselves and then Jesus comes again. And it came to pass that while the angels were ministering unto the disciples, behold, Jesus came and stood in the midst and ministered unto them. And it came to pass, he spake unto the multitude, and he commanded them that they should kneel down again upon the earth, and also that his disciples should kneel down upon the earth. And it came to pass that when they had all knelt down upon the earth, he commanded the disciples that they should pray. And behold, they began to pray. And they did pray unto Jesus, calling their Lord and God. And it came to pass that Jesus departed out of the midst of them and went a little way off from them and bowed himself to the earth. And he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given the Holy Ghost unto these whom I have chosen. And it is because of their belief in me that I have chosen them out of the world. It's because of their belief in him that he chose them. Don't you hope the Lord says that about you? It's because of your belief in him that he has chosen you to be in this dispensation of time. That you can bear a positive testimony to everyone you come in contact with. That you can talk about Jesus Christ, of his goodness and his mercy and his plan of salvation. He will never ever fail you. He is always there. He is ever mindful of you. You should be ever mindful of him, should you not? In every aspect of your life. Whether somebody's pulling up behind you when you're trying to back out, Melanie. I used to have a temper. Then I married a Kenan, so I don't have a temper anymore. But this morning, I was stopped somewhere in Green Valley, and I was backing out. First of all, a vehicle behind me had the pumps pulled out, so I had to stop. No big deal. I wasn't upset. Then somebody started coming around the corner, and I was still backing out. They went right behind me. And then they cut real close beside me to park beside me. Okay, I'm still okay. But in all that, I wasn't paying attention, and I didn't back up far enough and ran over the curb. That made me mad. Nobody ever gets mad driving. But I felt it in my chest. In my heart, I knew that I couldn't let that lie there. I had to let that go. And that is a very silly thing, isn't it? Yet those are type of things that separate us. I didn't yell at them, though. Those are type of things that separate us from God. Those are the type of things that keep us from being who we have been called to be. I had to let it go. I had to get it away from me. And it took a few miles before I felt that discomfort leave me. And I praise my Heavenly Father for that. Father, I pray that thou wilt give the Holy Ghost unto all them that shall believe in their words. Talking about the words that the disciples are going to be preaching unto them. Father, thou hast given them the Holy Ghost because they believe in me, and thou seest that they believe in me because thou hearest them, and they pray unto me, and they pray unto me because I am with them. At any moment of any day, do you find yourself in prayer? Do you find yourself calling out, praising your Heavenly Father, asking him to give you the strength to break? Sometimes it's almost a stupidity barrier with people you work with. My boss sometimes says things about me, never to me, only to the co-workers. And the first thing the co-workers do is they come and tell me. But yet, it's one of those crosses I have to bear, because he didn't know what he's talking about anyway, right? He didn't know any better. Maybe I should do a better job of bearing witness to my boss, and maybe those things won't happen. Also, I deal with a language barrier at work. A good portion of our workforce, English is not their primary language. Some of them can speak English, but when you use a slang word or another term, they don't understand what you're saying. And they can't pronounce streets. So I have to go to the job site, drop a pen, and send it to them so they can find their way. And sometimes we're like that. Jesus is telling us where we need to go, but we don't understand him because we're not listening. Maybe the language that Christ speaks is not our primary language, but it should be, shouldn't it? We should treat everyone we come in contact with love and respect. We should bear our testimony to him by the way we live our lives, that we believe in Jesus Christ. that he is our Lord and Savior. And not only is he our Lord and Savior, he is their Lord and Savior too. And if we will do that, imagine what this world will become. And now, Father, I pray unto thee for them. And also for all those who shall believe on their words, that they may believe in me, that I might be in them as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one. And when I think about that, I think about when I've been reading the Book of Mormon and I read these things that happen, and I read what they when they talk about Jesus Christ, and I believe those words, that meant that Christ at that time in history was praying for all of us. Because we believed on those words. He loves us. He wants so very much for us. A couple years ago, I was standing in a NICU. Not a place you ever want to go. There's a little boy there was all hooked up to machines. His head was completely covered with sensors. And as I was standing there, it was made known to me that he was not alone. That the Lord was with him. That he was mindful of him. And that he was in his hands. And everything would be okay. Two years later, he's a totally different young boy. Because God has chosen to bless him. There are still some concerns, but not like they were then. God loves us, and we are never alone. And it came to pass that when Jesus had thus prayed unto the Father, he came unto his disciples, and behold, they did still continue without ceasing to pray unto him. And they did not multiply many words. I have a bad habit, just so you know. If I'm sitting in prayer service and somebody who's praying has a repetitive word they use a lot, I find myself counting how many times they say that word. I'm kind of missing the point, aren't I? Or maybe they're missing the point by using that repetitive word. For it was given unto them what they should pray. My biggest fear in my ministry is offering a public prayer. Kind of weird, isn't it? I don't mind standing and talking, but I'm nervous about standing to pray. But in those times where I have allowed that to leave me and trusted in the Lord, all things are possible. And then I have no fear. The only fear I would have is if I didn't do what he asked me to do. But if you surrender yourself to the will of our Heavenly Father, his Son, Jesus Christ, all things are possible. And they were filled with desire. And it came to pass that Jesus beheld them as they did pray unto him, and his countenance did smile upon them. And the light of his countenance did shine upon them. And behold, they were as white as the countenance and also the garments of Jesus. Because the power of his spirit was upon them. They had surrendered themselves. They were worshiping Jesus Christ. And they were not going to let anything get in the way. In the church today, imagine if it was like that. Imagine if everyone who stood to bear their testimony had the Spirit of Jesus Christ with them. Imagine if everyone who stood to pray had the Spirit of Jesus Christ with them. Imagine if everyone who stood to preach the gospel had the Spirit of Jesus Christ with them, and you could not deny it. We must be about his work. We must surrender ourselves to his will. And if we will do that, the church will rise up like God said it would. There are so many people out there saying, we're the right ones, we're the right ones. And we should quit worrying about that and preach what we know God wants us to preach. And teach what we know God wants us to teach. And bear our testimony to everyone we come in contact with. Whether somebody on the street corner begging for money, do you give them money? Do you give them food? Do you just roll your window up and look the other way so they don't pay attention to you? Several years ago, I was working a job and I drove by this same street every day. And there was always a group of homeless people there. They lived down under the bridge. It was dark, because it's always dark when I leave to go to work, it seems like. And I noticed a young man that I couldn't see his face, but I recognized him through the eyes of Jesus as a lost soul. There were two other men that did not look like they belonged there. And they were talking to this young man who I recognize as a lost soul. And I don't know who they were, but they were ministering to this young man. And it was not revealed to me who those two men were, but I know that they were ministers for Jesus. And they were trying to save that lost soul. It made me look differently at people who are along the road when I come up on them and they're standing there or sitting there. And there have been times I've actually reached in my pocket and given them something that doesn't really matter, a little bit of money. I was sitting in a parking lot of a Target store. I wasn't shopping because I don't shop at Target. But I was at work and I was looking at a map, trying to figure out where I needed to go. And a young woman with a child in her arm came up to my door. So reluctantly, I rolled down the window. She poured her heart out. If she needed to be able to buy something for her child. And Melanie can tell you I'm kind of a softy sometimes. And I reached in my billfold and the only money I had was a $20 bill. And I gave it to her. And she said, thank you, bless you. And she walked off. And I thought, did I just do something really stupid? Is it my place to question it? It's just money. It doesn't mean anything, right? But them, it might, to them, it might mean something. So I got out of my truck and I stepped back by the bed of the truck and I looked down the aisle. She put the little child down and she was showing, look what we got. Now we can buy this. At that moment, I was condemned for doubting that they really needed it. Sorry, I got the edge of my scriptures in the Book of Mormon are a little folded over, so I got to unroll them before I can read it. Because I'm not studied enough that I can remember all the words. And behold, the whiteness thereof did exceed all the whiteness. Yea, even there could not be anything upon the earth so white as the whiteness thereof. And Jesus said unto them, pray on, nevertheless they did not cease to pray. And he turned from them again and went a little way off and bowed himself to the earth. And he prayed again unto the Father, saying, Father, I thank thee that thou hast purified these whom I have chosen because of their faith. Don't you wish you could be purified because of your faith? That you would follow what we have been taught. That you would not judge people, but that you would trust in Jesus Christ. That you would love them as he has loved you, because they're worthy of his love too, are they not? And I pray for them and also for them who shall believe on their words, that they may be purified in me through faith on their words, even as thou art purified in me. Father, I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me out of the world because of their faith. And they may, that they may be purified in me, that I might be in them as Father thou art in me, that we may be one. And my biggest desire is that we would be one. That we would become the type of people that would trust in Jesus, that would follow him not only in word but in deed. That the time will come when the Lord will bring again Zion, a city on a hill, a city where righteousness abounds. May the Lord God Almighty bless you in your daily walk with him. May he enlighten your mind. May he give you the strength that you need to bear the burdens which fall upon you. But remember, lay your burdens at the feet of Jesus so you can accomplish anything. He will be with you always. He loves you. He died for you. Thank you. Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do have that vision of Zion in our minds and our hearts. We do have this desire to build that fair city with prayer. So, Father, we continue to pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and direct us and open the pathway for us. We might continue to share that hope of the gospel with those that we come in contact with, put them in our pathway. And Father, the promise that we are never alone. Father, we want to recognize that you're ever present. If we don't feel the Spirit, Father, we know we have moved, not you. So help us not to move, but to yearn to be in your presence always. So, Father, we thank you for the challenge that was put forth for us today. And as you have entered that city of Jerusalem to make that sacrifice willingly, Father, let us go forth willingly to be your instruments, your hands and your feet in this latter day for your Zion, for your kingdom. So, Father, we pray that your blessing might continue to be with us. We do remember those who are not with us this day that are doing ministry. We pray for those that have need your healing hand in their lives, and those that have lost loved ones, your comforting spirit to bless them. We just recognize that we must be willing to submit and surrender. And it's hard, Father. Help us to do that. So bless us in our fellowship with our potluck today, Father. Be with us then as we share one with another, break bread one with another. That causes us to have that unity, that oneness, that is a necessity. So we thank you in all things. We love you, Lord. We desire to serve you. And we offer this prayer and benediction in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.